Good morning. Welcome to Promise of Victory Church of God. Little different service this morning. Pastor's out of town traveling. So myself and a couple other pastors are going to be bringing a word to you this morning. We're going to start in Mark chapter 14, verses 50 to 52. It says, "And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his neck, or cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." I think personally these are a couple of the toughest Sundays in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First, you know, we hear about all of the miracles that Jesus had done, and it gets everybody excited. It's a good story. It's a great story. But once we get around this time, we start to see something a little bit different. We see reactions of people change because, you know, the disciples at this point, they've experienced a loss. People don't really pick up on that. We talk about the fear that they felt, but I feel like a lot of the mindset that they were in was related to the loss that they just experienced. They had spent 3 years solid with Christ, walking with him day in and day out, learning from him, watching miracle after miracle after miracle. And then they find themselves in a place where he's being taken from them, and there's nothing that they could do. We say that they're afraid. But if you remember, when they came to take Jesus out of the garden, they were ready to fight. They didn't immediately run. It wasn't until they realized that Christ wasn't going to perform a miracle and get out of this one. They felt like they knew what God's plan was, and they were comfortable with the plan that they had in their mind. Once it started to change in reality, that's when they kind of fell apart, right? They allowed their faith to crack, but in no way were the disciples ever cowards, and should they ever be considered that. They were under an extreme amount of pressure, okay? And they had also experienced for the first time a disappointment that they have never experienced before. And the thing about disappointment is that it creates an environment for compromise to thrive and flourish if you don't deal with it. So it's not as though God had failed, right? We say all the time, God has never failed us, and he hasn't. But if you've walked with him for any period of time, I'm certain you've felt some disappointment. It's inevitable. One of the biggest disappointments that I feel and that I struggle with the most is the disappointment that comes with loss. You expect God to do something. You know God as a healer, but then they don't get healed. Just a tidbit of information. Yesterday would have been my mother's birthday, but she passed. When she was sick, we all prayed. We believed for healing, and it never came. So I understand where the disciples are coming from. They've experienced this disappointment. They don't necessarily know how to handle it. The one thing about the disappointment and then the pressure that comes behind it is that it blurs your vision a little bit. You can't see as clearly as you once could see. When you start out walking with God, you say to yourself, how can anybody walk away, right? How can anybody walk away? It's so great. He's done so much for me. All of these miracles that we see day in and day out, how can anybody turn away from that? Don't ever ask yourself that question, because you'll find out. You start to go down this journey where nothing really makes sense anymore, and you're expected to rely on faith. And your faith was great. Your faith was great when things were working out. Your faith was great when you weren't being disappointed. But once that disappointment comes, and it feels like God is silent, you find yourself in the same scenario that the disciples found themselves. Because when they took Christ, he opened not his mouth. He was silent. Jesus, why don't you do something? Silence. This is the way it's supposed to be. But how can this be the way that it's supposed to be? Silence. You're not always going to have all of the answers. This is a story, though, that's as old as the tale of time. Because if you look back at Abraham, Abraham left where he was at. God had placed him in a specific place. And all Abraham could see was failure, and he thought that success was impossible. So he ran. He fled to Egypt. He lied about who he was married with, because once you do one thing, it leads to another, and another, and another. And that mindset is very common. We say, with God, all things are possible, right? But when you're inside the box, it doesn't look that way. And what you see is opposite of what you know to be true. The only thing that God finds to be impossible is failure under his leadership. But we don't see it that way. If we're able to trust God, success is inevitable. But how do we know that? I know I'm still fighting to get through to the other side where I find that to be true. But at least I'm still fighting, right? The other scripture I wanted to look at was James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Temptation in this context is talking about the trial of man's fidelity, his integrity, his virtue, his constance. It talks about a mental state by which we are enticed to sin or lapse from the faith. There's that concept again, that abandonment of faith. One thing we got to remember, though, is that when it's all over, we still have to give an account for how we lived our life. We do have a God that's understanding, but we still have to give an account. The one truth that we could hold on to, though, is that God has already given his account. His account is that obedience makes failure impossible. So we have to stay the course, although between Mark chapter 14 and all the way to James 1, a lot of things happen. Just like in your life, a lot of things can happen. Really, this is to lay the groundwork for the rest of the sermon that's going to go on this morning. I'll hand it over to Pastor LaShawn.
Praise the Lord. It's interesting the things that he was talking about and how we can go through series in lives where we have great faith in God and then all of a sudden things begin to happen in our life where we start to lose our faith. But one of the things that that we need to understand about God is even when we're faithless, 2 Timothy 2:11 says that God is faithful. It says that when we don't believe, he still believes because he can't deny himself. The Bible tells us that his word never returns to him void, but it accomplishes that thing that he sends it out to do. So no matter how he speaks it or who he speaks it on, that's why one of my favorite scriptures is Romans 11:29, that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, because I understand that his word never returns to him void. So when he spoke that thing over my life, he didn't speak it by accident. And his word has to return to him and accomplish that thing that he has sent it out to do. Is anybody in here glad that when we are inconsistent with God, that God is consistent and faithful? Is anybody glad that our failures and our way of thinking and our finite imagination doesn't stop God from being God, but that God is God all by himself? That no matter how we believe about him, no matter what we think about him, he never stops being God any minute of the day. He never relinquished his control. He never got off of his throne. He is still Almighty God. So the second part of this message today is something that I've entitled, if she's put it up there, BGIF, And why did I do that? Because one of the things that we do today, of course, this is something that we've done for multiple years, but one of the things that I know we do today more common is we often use abbreviations to write down the phrases that we want to express. All right, so we've done that for years. We've had Thank God It's Friday, TGIF. We had those things like that. But now they got things I don't even understand what they're saying half the time when they write them. There's so many abbreviations that's so long, I have no idea what you just said to me. I wish you would have just said it in plain words so I could understand what you said. I got to ask my kids half the time, what in the world does this mean? Or I got to Google it if they ain't around. Now you got things like TTLY. I'm like, okay. I don't even know what that means right now, but TTLY, something about talk to you later or something like that. Then you got things. I saw one that was JBOL, just burst out laughing. And I'm like, so now this is the era and this is the day that we live in where we're constantly seeing abbreviations that are used for phrases. And I wanted to give you a hashtag abbreviation today that you can use when you find yourself in doubt and when you know that you've been full of faith, but all of a sudden you see that life is crashing down on you and you don't know how to handle your circumstances and you don't understand why this thing is happening to you. You know that you've been faithful to God. You've been going to church. You've been paying your tithes. You've been faithful to your family. You've been doing the things that God has entrusted you with. You've been a good steward over the blessings that God has given you. And you don't understand why you're going what you're going through. Well, I wanted to give you a hashtag of some of the reasons why you may be going through what you're going through or what you can say in the middle of your storm. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And I'm going to give you the hashtag statement for this abbreviation. And I don't want to use this whole scripture. A lot of times when I use this scripture, I use the very end of it, that God will make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear any temptation that comes against us. But we're just going to use the beginning of this, right? It says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. B-G-I-F. But God is faithful. And I want somebody to remember that God is, that it don't matter what situation you're going through. It don't matter the circumstances that life has brought against you. You serve a God that is faithful. Somebody needs to remember that. And somebody needs to say that and speak that over your life, that I serve a God who is faithful. Like 2 Timothy said, even if I'm faithless, he's faithful because he can't deny his own self. I serve a God that is faithful. So I started thinking about this, right? And I started thinking about the abbreviations that we use and how we use them to explain things when we send messages to people. And I thought about some other abbreviations. Of course, there's the easy ones like TY. Yeah, we know that. Thank you. You know, LOL. They don't even use that no more. You old school if you still use an LOL. Just so you know, you an old head if you use an LOL. They don't even use that no more. BTW, by the way. There's things like that. And then there's also been abbreviations that we use for titles of people. We use CEO. Of course, we use it for Christmas and Easter only Christians as well. But chief executive officers, we use PM for project managers, you know, things of that nature. We use PK. Most people know what PK mean. If you grew up with a mommy and daddy that preached in the house of God, you was considered a PK. You was a preacher's kid. So I started thinking, what would my abbreviation be? Something that has gotten me to where I am now from where I used to be. And what I considered about my life and when I thought about it, I realized I'm a POP. And I didn't have her write that up there, but I thought about it. I said, I'm a POP. Yeah, and I don't mean that I'm a pops, because I am a pops. And I got 7 kids, so I am a pops. But when I say POP, that's not exactly what I mean by that. When I say POP, what I mean is I had got to where I got into, and it hasn't been because of anything that I have done, but it's because of the people that stood in the gap for me. It's because of the people that bombarded heaven for me. It's because I had a mama that refused to let the devil have roughshod over her baby, refused to let the enemy decide what my destiny was going to be. I had a grandmother that was constantly calling my name up to heaven, saying, God, you told me that if I raise them up in the right ways, that when they get older, they won't depart from it, and I'm about ready to see that promise come to pass. Huh. So I was a POP. I consider myself a product of prayer. I know I ain't get here by myself. I ain't holy. I ain't righteous. I didn't do nothing to put myself in this position, but it's only because I had a family, and that family had friends, and those friends kept praying, and every time they had a prayer meeting, they was bringing my name up, but other people were saying I was going to die, either be dead or in jail by the time I was 25, and half of that was right, but I didn't die, only I was in jail. And at the age of 25, when they were saying those things about me, other people were saying, that ain't the destiny for my baby boy. I serve a God who is faithful. Hashtag BGIF. My God is faithful. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I realize I'm a product of prayer. And I realize this is what prayer does. Prayer creates what I call BG moments. Hashtag BG. Oh, she didn't put that one up there. Hashtag BG. So anyway, prayer is what I call BG moments. Now, if you don't understand what a BG moment is, I got it wrote down here somewhere. A BG moment is similar to an aha moment. You know how you have those aha moments? An aha moment, it's a moment of sudden insight, right? It's when you realize or remember something that you hadn't previously considered. You're in the middle of a situation. You're in the middle of a circumstance. And then all of a sudden, the cartoons just have this light that flickered above the person that was running. And they begin to realize something, or they remember something that they hadn't received, that they hadn't remembered previously. And that became an aha moment. An aha moment sometimes becomes a laughing moment. Because you can use an aha moment against the devil. You say, you thought you had me. You thought you had me trapped. But aha, devil, this is an aha moment. You ain't got me right where you wanted me like you thought you did anyway, because my God is still in control. So a BG moment is similar to an aha moment. Right? Because a BG moment is a but God moment. Just when you thought you had me right where you wanted me, there was a but God. But God stepped in a way. But God touched my situation. But God changed the situation. But God changed the atmosphere. But God brought me to where I needed to be. But God. There was a but God moment. I'm glad for but God moments. So I wanted to give you a few scriptures of how some of you may also have experienced a but God moment. Psalm 73 and 26 says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Although my strength, my heart might fail, but God. He is my strength and portion forever. Anyone in here that's saved this morning can recognize with Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And it says, who was dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the lust of the flesh, according to sins, according to the ways of the world, to the course of the world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Each and every one of us walked in that way before. Some of us worse than others. But each and every one of us walked in that way before. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we've all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then the next one says what? who is rich in his mercy, saved us and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but God. See, there was a but God moment that saved us. And I know that this is a famous one that we all love to preach about when we talk about Joseph in Genesis in chapter 50 and 20, when Joseph was telling his brothers, you threw me in a pit, you left me there to die, then you told them where I was so they could sell me into slavery, and all of these things that you did, you meant it for my evil. I'm telling you, somebody needs to tell the devil that today. When you walked out of my life, devil, when you had him walk out of my life, devil, you meant it for evil. When you struck me with that cancer, devil, you meant it for evil. When you had them pass, when they passed from this life to the next, you tried to convince me that it was from evil, but God turned it around for my good. But God turned it around for my good. Everything that you meant to destroy me, God used it to build me. I wish somebody would grab hold of that. I wish somebody would grab hold of everything that you're going through, God. Every thing that you're going through, God will one day use as a stepping stone in your life. He'll use it for you to testify. I can't tell you how good it feels when I go back into the prison and I preach with people I was locked up with. They're still in there doing years because they can see firsthand who I was and now who God has turned me into be. He made a stepping stone over the obstacles that the enemy had tried to put in my life. The things that he meant for my evil, God turned it around for my good. Ah, thank you, Jesus. To bring about this day, Joseph. This why I did it. This day right here. This why I turned it around for my good. This day right here. To bring it about this day. So before I go, before Sister Jessica comes out here and lights this place up, I'm going to give you a couple more of my hashtags for you to go by for now on. Can I get them hashtags up there? I want to give you a few more. So next time you're trying to encourage somebody on Facebook, next time you see somebody going through something and they don't understand why they're going through, or they're going through what they're going through, just send them a hashtag. Tell them, don't worry, BG, hashtag, but God. Don't worry, hashtag, God is faithful. Don't worry, hashtag, but God is faithful. And then if you want to get personal, like you're talking to the enemy over your life, you can throw an M right in the middle of GIF and say, no, he ain't just a God, he's my God. And my God is faithful. And then the last one, I love it. And this is something that you have to remember, because I know that God is sovereign and nothing happens without his authority. You got to remember, G-I-I-C, God is in control.
Glad to be here. Praise God. Let me get situated here a minute. I know y'all been blessed already. I'm thankful today. As you know, everybody is getting ready for Easter. I went to the store yesterday. It was packed. Everybody's, you know, getting all ready for what's coming up and what you know, the celebrations and the food and clothes and the whole nine, right? Everybody's doing it up, right? Well, what I want to talk to you about this morning is why. Why are we doing all of these things? Because it's not about the Easter bunnies and the eggs, right? I want to talk to you in that time leading up to when Jesus died on the cross for us. We know, you know, there was a time that there was a point that in Jesus' life when he was just Jesus from Nazareth. He was just Mary and Joseph's boy. That's just Jesus, right? And we know, you know, in your own life you can think of people or even a time when that was just you. That was just who you were. That was just the life you were living, right? But we know, as we keep reading and we know Jesus' story, we know that there came a time that he started performing miracles. He started walking in what he came to do, and he was healing people, and he was delivering people, and he was telling people, you're saved. He was telling people of the goodness that they can have in their lives, right? And the word started spreading, okay? There came a time when people started talking, right? The people were getting stirred. And I want to read to you Matthew 21. I'm just going to read this to you. We know the story, but I'm just going to go over it here real quick here. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord has need of them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken about the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." They were stirred, right? Because word was spreading on the things that he was doing for the people that he came into contact with. Everywhere he went, something, someone changed. Everywhere, and word was spreading because of it. This particular situation happened because it was a fulfillment of prophecy, okay? This had to happen, okay? And think about the people in this time. These were the Jews, okay? They knew Scripture, okay? The Jews know Scripture, okay? It's not like you come to Sunday school for a little bit and you might learn one or two. That they know what the Scriptures say. So they knew this is fulfilling a prophecy that was spoken. This is happening right now. This is what's happening right now. This is fulfilling that prophecy. And they got excited, and they were spreading the word, and they were talking about what was happening. And just like we do, we get excited about things, and we got to tell you, and we got to tell you, and guess what happened over here? And I went here, and this is what I saw. Okay, this is what's happening. They were stirred. The scripture says they were stirred. When Jesus comes in on this donkey, they are praising him. They're throwing their cloaks down for the donkey to walk on. They're getting palm branches and throwing them down for the donkey to walk on. Now think about at this time, the Jews also had the mindset of, well, Jesus is going to make everything better. He's going to get rid of these awful Romans and all these taxes that we have to pay. He's going to deal with all of this, and he's going to make it better for us. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was at a point in my life where I looked around at my life and was like, whoa, what have I done? I have not been an adult very long in this thing, and I done messed it up already. What am I going to do? And I know there's a lot of people that get saved because, you know, they want fire insurance. They just don't want to go to hell. Okay, I got saved because, well, Lord, I done messed it up real bad. Here, fix it. Make it better. Do something. Do something and fix what I done messed up. Because I messed it up good. Fix it. Fix it. Make it better for me so that I can be happy, so that I can live the life that I want, what I expected. Okay, let me ask you a question real quick. I know we're getting ready for Easter, but let's think back from Christmas a little bit. How many of you had poinsettias in your house, on your porch, in your office, in your decorations? Not very many poinsettias, but you know what they are nonetheless, okay? So now that Christmas is over and we have all gotten rid of our Christmas decorations and we've put them away because, well, this is what they look like, right? Christmas is over. We put the decorations away and we throw the poinsettias in the trash can because Christmas is over, right? How many of you have a situation in your life that this is what it looks like? You have a situation and all you can see is it's dead, it's over with. What am I going to do now? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your job situation. Whatever it is that you're thinking of right now that is just so overwhelming to you, you can't see any hope in it. How is it ever going to get better? This is what it looks like. And just oftentimes, like these poinsettias, we throw them in the trash. We get rid of them because, well, it's dead. What am I going to keep it around for? Apparently, I kept mine around for this message. Because it's dead as a doornail, okay? You look at these situations and you think, well, it's hard to praise God when this is what you're facing. Because this isn't what I prayed for. This isn't what I asked for. Nobody wants this. Nobody asks for this. This is not what I dreamed of. But that's what I'm looking at. That's what I see. That's all I can see sitting in front of me because it's right there. How can you ignore that? It's dead as can be. This isn't what I dreamed of. This isn't what I wanted. But let me just tell you something. Let me give you some hope, okay? Because this might be what you see, but that is not what God sees. When he looks at your life, he sees a whole lot different than what we see. Okay, he doesn't look through our natural eyes like we do. We are so used to looking at things that we can see in our natural eye. But how about in your spirit? What can you see in your spirit? Can you see things the way that God sees things? He's telling you, hold on. Hold on. Put your focus on me. Lift up your voice to me. Just because you don't see things the way that I see things doesn't mean I don't love you. Just because it, whatever your it is, doesn't look like you expected it to, doesn't mean that I'm not working it out for your good. What did we already hear? God takes those things that we see as dead, and he turns them around and uses them for our good. He has a plan. He brings hope. He brings peace into your life. He is the one that brings growth, and he knows exactly how to do that. When God does it, not only does he change your situation, your life, you, your perspective, but he will leave you in awe of who he is. He wants you to see him. He wants you to see him, not what he does for you. Can we look at Luke 19 real quick? Sorry about that. Same story. I just want to point out something to you real quick. So Jesus has come in, and at it, I'm going to start with 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. You will not leave one stone, they will not leave one stone unturned because you did not recognize the time of God's coming." They didn't recognize it. okay? They could not see, they did not know that Jesus was headed to the cross and that he had to do that so that we could be saved. They didn't understand. They did not recognize that that is what is happening. It's hard to praise God when this is what you see. When you don't recognize what is happening. When you don't know what God is doing. When they say to you, I'm not doing this anymore. But let me show you something. Kristen, do you have my hydrangea up here? Okay. So let's look at this for a moment. This was in my house. This is one of my hydrangeas. As you can see here, see all this dead? It's not supposed to be brown, in case you were not aware. See all the dead up top? The leaves are dry. They look like they're crinkling. There's a whole lot of dead there, right? Now, my daughter has one of these also in her dining room. And I've never had a hydrangea before, but they're her favorite. She said, well, Mom, you got to water it. They need a lot of water. You got to give it more water. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to water it more. I'll water it some more. I'll give it some more water. I said, I feel like I'm drowning it, but I'll give it some more water. Well, it's not helping. It's not helping. So I went to the store, and I got this little globe thing. And it's going to get all the water it needs, okay? Whenever it needs water, it's just going to drip right out of there, and it's going to get all the water. It's going to be fine, right? I said to her, I said, well, I don't know. I'm watering it as much as I can water it. I don't think it's getting enough sun. I don't have enough windows in my house. I don't get a lot of sun in my house, right? And she's got, in her dining room, she got a whole wall that's windows, right? So she's got one in her dining room, and it's flourishing. Mine is not. I said, I don't know. You're going to have to come and take this because it's going to die at my house. You're going to have to take it and get it in some sun. I'm not getting it. I even went and bought the grow lights that you plug in and shine lights on them. It's not helping, as you can see. So she said, well, you got to take all that dead stuff off. You got to get all that dead off, right? Because what happens, the plant tries to send the nutrients in the water to those dead parts, and it's sucking up those nutrients. It's sucking up that nourishment, trying to revive what is dead, okay? So I cleared it out. I did that. I'm trying to keep the plant alive, y'all, okay? I did that. This is what it looks like now. You see this little globe of water? I think it's getting enough water, okay? The problem is, and you see, look here, that one's still dying. The problem is, the bottom line is, it's not getting enough sun. It's not getting enough sun, and that is needed. Sometimes, in these dead situations, what seems to be dead to us, and we peel back all of that dead, and it's, look, there is life here. There is life here. You got that other picture, Kristen? There's life here. After I cleared all that dead, you couldn't see it in that first picture, but there's life here. This is new life. This is new growth right here. There's life here. It's going to survive if it gets the sunlight that it needs. She's taking it home with her today. She don't know that, but she's taking it home with her today because it needs some sunlight that is going to get at her house. But listen, my point is, the reason I bring this up to you is sometimes in these situations, you will continue to feed and nourish and give the resources that you have to those things that you can't do anything about. And when God says it's time to let this thing go, he knows this is something that only I can deal with. This is something that I have to take care of. And if you keep this, you're going to keep giving your time. You're going to give your energy. You're going to give the resources that I have placed in you for another purpose to something that you can't do anything about. Sometimes we've got to let it go to where it can be taken care of. Sometimes we've got to give it to God and let him do what only he can do in that situation. And he will turn it around, okay? Now we have that situation where you want to keep pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And then you have this other situation. Some of y'all, you got one extreme or the other. Some of y'all are neglectful. If you leave it without water, without sun, without any nourishment, without prayer, without love, without peace, without joy, without hope, without all these things that God has given to you, this is what you're going to end up with. You can't be neglectful. There will never be a time in our Christian walk that we can just kick back and say, "Ah, I'm here. I'm good. I'm good now. Everything is good." There will never be a time that we can kick back and get lazy in our walk with Jesus. There will not be a time. Never. Listen, y'all. Sometimes we get to a place in our lives where we go to sleep. If you are in a place where you have gone to sleep, and this is what you find yourself looking at, what I want you to do is, just like in this story in Matthew, where they got stirred, they heard about the things that Jesus was doing, they heard about him coming in and declaring that he was the king, and they got stirred in their spirits. It's time to stir up that praise within you. It's time to focus on God. It's time to keep your focus on the one that can do something about your life, the one that can do something about your situation. And you know what? All you got to do is praise him. All you got to do is praise him through no matter what you're going through. You keep your eyes fixed upon him and you praise him. That's your job. That's all you got to do. You give the rest of it to him and let him deal with it. You focus on him. And listen to me. Let me tell you one more thing. I'm almost done here, y'all. Listen, this right here, if this is what you're looking at and this is all you can see in your life, is the dead. If that's all you can see, you look at your life or your situation, whatever it is that you're thinking. Listen, he knew when he was going to come into Jerusalem riding on that donkey, he knew that these same people that were praising him right now, in a matter of days, were going to turn their backs on him. They were going to be the same people saying, "Crucify him." They were going to be the same people that got disappointed. We already heard about it. Brother Ryan was telling us their expectations were not met. They were disappointed. When you look at this and you say, "Well, I don't understand this. This isn't what I was expecting. This isn't what I wanted." Listen, their expectations were wrong. Their perspective was wrong. They didn't know the full plan of what God was planning. They didn't understand the whole process. They didn't understand the bigger picture. And oftentimes we find ourselves in that situation. We cannot, when you're seeing this, we cannot see the bigger picture. But just like we have in this hydrangea, there's new life there. There's new life there. And if you'll let God take care of it, if you'll take that and let it get nourished, if you will leave that situation at this altar and let God nourish it and do what only he can do in that situation, he will turn it around for your good. He will turn that situation around. Jalen, can you bring me up Jada's hydrangea? This is what it looks like when you let God do what he can do. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it looks like when you leave it in God's hands. This right here, when it's getting the nourishment that it needs, when you leave it in God's hands, look how big and full and fluffy and nice and all that stuff that she does. It makes it look pretty. Look at that. That's what God does with that situation. So you can hold on to your situation and you can carry this right home with you when you leave church today. Are you going to take this home? Are you going to leave it here and let God do it? Are you going to leave it here and allow God to work in your situation, to prune you, to change your perspective, whatever it is that God needs to do? Or are you going to go home with this? Because no matter what you're looking at, no matter what your situation is, are you going to praise God because of what you want him to do? Are you going to praise him for who he is? Because regardless of what you're looking at right here, if you're broke, let me tell you something. God is still Jehovah Jireh. If you're sick, God is still Jehovah Rapha. I know that sounds callous, but let me tell you something. No matter what you're facing, God is still God. And when you can get in your mind, when you can get your focus on God so much so that you can say, no matter what is going on in my life, in spite of what I am facing, I will praise God because he is God no matter what is going on in my life. I will praise you because you are God, because you are good. Can we praise God today? Can y'all take that situation that you were thinking about, that situation that you see is dead or dying, that situation that needs some nourishment, that needs the love of God? Can you bring it to this altar? Can you muster up enough trust in the God of creation to leave it in his capable hands, to leave it at his feet, and decide in your spirit, I'm going to praise God no matter what, because he is still God. No matter what I am facing, he is still God. Can you open up your mouth? Can you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet with me. Can you take that situation and bring it to the feet of Jesus? Can we praise God this morning, no matter what you're facing? If you want to come up to this altar, it's open. And the prayer team will come up here and we will pray with you. We will love on you. We will give you peace out of the well that we have. The things that God has placed in us, we will give to you. The things that God has done in our lives, we will share with you. Can you put your trust in God enough to come up here and lay it at his feet? I promise you, he will not disappoint you. Change your perspective, because no matter what you see, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. And he's got a purpose. If you don't know the Lord and you want to give your life to him today, come to the altar. Don't leave not knowing Jesus. Trust him with your soul and allow him to do what only he can do in your life. We'd love to pray for you.